Amen. You can be seated, church. Morning. You guys good? Nobody's good, okay? I'm good. All right. Man, I want to start by saying thank you to all who came out to Chick-fil-A to get the Lord's chicken, right? Man, well, last week we supported our youth group to help raise money for their summer camp. I know they're looking forward to that, so thanks for being there. If you are new or you are newer to Authentic Life, we're so grateful that you're here today. We thank God that you're here. And if there's any way we can help you feel comfortable or encouraged today, please let us know. I am looking forward to our time in God's Word today. For a while now, we've been walking through the book of Acts together. I love Acts, right? And I pray that it's been a good time, that we've enjoyed this study, that we've been encouraged by what God has in there for us as Christ followers and as a church family, to be on mission for Christ and to just trust Him. Church, it's easy to get distracted in our world. But in Acts, we get to see Christians and the local church, we get to see them stay devoted to what God calls us to stay devoted to His mission, and to be in the church that He calls us to be. In the beginning of Acts, at the very beginning, not long after Jesus died and rose again, Jesus is about to ascend to be with the Father, and He gives us the mission. He says, I need you to be my witnesses to people everywhere you go, to the ends of the earth. We live in a world, we live in a nation, we live in a state, and we live in a city that desperately needs Jesus. And Jesus says, go and tell them. Go and tell them the good news. And we see them live that out here in the book of Acts. Right away, Peter preaches the first sermon. We see about 3,000 people give their life to Christ. They become part of that early church. And from there, we see the gospel of Jesus spread. We see the church grow. We see thousands and thousands of people call on Jesus to save them, and their life is forever changed by the gospel. Later in Acts, we see the Apostle Paul and his team go from city to city, telling others about the gospel of Jesus and start new churches. We saw in Acts 21 that as Paul comes to Jerusalem, that's his third missionary journey. It's his last city to go to. And when he gets there, he's there to bring them a gift and to encourage them. But he's met by an angry group of people, an angry group of Jews who had rejected Jesus. And they just wanted to see Paul stopped. These Jews rejected Jesus being the Messiah, and they hated that Paul was calling people to follow him. And so when Paul gets to Jerusalem, their aim is to kill him, thinking that if they put an end to Paul, they're going to put an end to Christianity. I think they missed what Jesus says, that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so they attack Paul, they falsely accuse Paul, and they see to it that he's arrested, hoping that their religious leaders and that the Roman courts would put an end to Paul. When they see that's not going to work, they set up a plan to try to kill Paul themselves, and that doesn't work either. But all along the way, as Paul is facing all of this abuse and accusations and trials, Paul knows, we need to know God is with him. God is in control. Knowing those things allowed Paul to simply trust in the Lord and stand firm for him. Back in Acts 23, God told Paul, he said, Paul, I'm sending you to Rome. You're going to testify about me there. You're going to tell people about Jesus in Rome. And so while Paul was still in custody, every trial he went through, every leader he stood in front of, every case that was presented, Paul was found to be innocent of what these Jews were accusing him of, but he still remained in custody simply because he was telling others. So eventually Paul, knowing he's not going to get a fair trial as a Roman citizen, he was born a Roman citizen, he asked to go to Rome to stand before Caesar. And last week we saw Paul get out on the water, out on the ship to head to Rome. It wasn't quite the trip he was looking for, right? It was quite the ride. They ran into a storm that caused most people on the ship to lose hope. Acts 27 tells us that during the storm, this crew that set out with everything they needed, they now have no gear, no light, no sight, no control, no answers, which led them to no hope. I think we've been there, church, right? We don't have anything going our way, right? We have no control and we lose hope. But again, Paul knew that God was with him. He was at work. He was in control. And so God used Paul to encourage and help these men keep going. And after 14 days on this ship in a storm, the ship was falling apart. They made it to land, and Paul eventually made it to Rome. So last week, we were reminded, church, that we serve a promise-keeping God. It was a really quick recap of Acts. But that's where we left off last week, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 16. If you have your Bibles, open them. Open your Bibles, your devices, to Acts chapter 28, verse 16. And as Jeff said earlier, we've got Bibles that are free. Go and grab one if you need one. But that's where we saw Paul make it to Rome. But remember, he's still in custody. Right, he's still a prisoner, but he had a guard that was good to him, And being a Roman citizen, he was allowed to basically rent his own house and stay there under the guard of the Roman soldiers. A bit of a house arrest, right? Not a bit of a house. It was a house arrest, right? And so today, that's what we're going to pick up, and we come to the end of Acts. A little sad, right? Come to the end of Acts. But I want to begin, before we dive in, I want to ask you guys a question. Have you ever gone to a movie or seen one in your home? It's got your attention. You're drawn into it. They built up the characters, right? You've seen what's going on with them, and they come to the end of the story. You're ready to see what happens. You want some resolution. The screen goes black, and the words pop up, "to be continued, dot, dot, dot." Anybody else just hate that? Like, maybe it's a movie that's got a cliffhanger. There are some movies out there that said, "Hey, we want you to decide how this movie ends." To which I reply, "Man, do your job and finish the movie, right? Are you with me, guys? Like, just finish it." But when we come to the end of Acts, we've been waiting for Paul to get to Rome. We've been waiting to see what happens to him. But the ending that Luke gives us, God uses Luke to write Acts, might not be exactly what we're looking for. Right? We're not going to see him stand on trial before Caesar. There's a reason for that. The reason is this. The story of Acts, it does include Peter and Stephen and Luke and Paul and other great examples. But Acts isn't ultimately about one person. Acts is about Jesus. Acts is about his church. It's about the spread of the gospel. It's about the Holy Spirit empowering us as Christians to do what God has called us to do. Acts is about us prayerfully depending on God, knowing we can't do it on our own. And so as we come to the end of Acts, this is a to-be-continued ending. Because Jesus' church is still at work. He's still saving people. Churches are still being planted. Lives are still being changed. Cities are still being turned upside down. Churches are still called to be devoted to the Word of God and to be Christ-centered. And the mission of Jesus' church did not change. Jesus doesn't care that it's 2024, church. Well, he does, but not according to his mission. It's the same church, right? It's to go and be his witnesses to people everywhere we go. And guess what? Acts is, we're part of the story. Authentic Life Church is part of the story. We're part of the TB continued. We're still being used by the Lord today. And church, what an amazing privilege and responsibility that is. Man, I can't tell you how exciting it is to see the life change that God has done in and through Authentic Life Church. How many people have been saved? Right, lives that have been changed. It's just been amazing. And so when we walk through the remaining verses, we're going to see five big takeaways for you and me to apply to our lives, but also for all of us to apply to this church as we continue to follow Jesus and to be a part of his mission. And we're going to read. Normally we'll stand and read the whole thing, but we're going to read through it as we go this morning, see these five takeaways for us to live out. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer, church. Father, you are good. God, the Bible tells us that the entirety of your word is true. We can trust it. We can believe it. God, you also tell us that scripture is God-breathed. And it's good for us. It's good for our training and instruction. It's good for us to hear from you. Hear it. Believe it. Know it and apply it. God, if we just simply read or preach your word and do nothing with it, what does that do for us? But you call us to live it out. To be doers of the word. And so, God, I pray, Lord, you be in charge of everything that comes out of my mouth today. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to us as a church, to those that are members, attenders, and guests. God, we pray, Lord, that you would be in charge, that we would just listen to you and respond to you. And, God, I want to ask you, I've been praying all week, God, if there is someone in here today that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord, today would be the day that would surrender their life to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We saw last week that God keeps his promise, as he always does. And Paul has arrived in Rome. Acts 28, verse 16 says this. It's first verse in our text today. It said, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. And so Paul is still in custody, but due to being a Roman citizen and due to the kindness of his guard, it appears that Paul is living really at his own expense, but he's in a bit of a relaxed house arrest. He's able to have guests. He's able to move around in his home, but he doesn't really have a lot of freedom. He's not able to leave. And so while he's in custody, Paul does have a little bit of freedom, but we're going to see that Paul takes advantage of that little bit of freedom that he does have. Let's be honest, church. Paul's been through it. He could have said, you know what, man, I'm stuck here. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. I can't do what I want to do, so I'm just going to chill. I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to wait until my court case is over. And that's not what he does at all. In fact, in verse 17, we'll see that
that Paul doesn't wait long. It says, after 3 days, he called together the leaders of the Jews. Church, Paul got off this boat. He's traveling up to Rome. He's been in his house under house arrest for 3 days. And now he's inviting people over to talk Jesus with him. But Paul, we see that here in Acts, but Paul is actually doing a whole lot more while he's in house arrest. Other passages in the Bible tell us what Paul is doing while he's here in Rome, under house arrest. He's not just sitting around, church. God is still using him. In fact, God uses Paul during this imprisonment to write a few books of the Bible. While he's here, God uses Paul to write the book to those in Ephesus. He writes Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon. While he's here, under house arrest, God uses him to write books that we have in our Bible. And so Paul uses his time to write to these churches. While he's under house arrest, he's teaching church. He's encouraging. The one that needs encouragement is also encouraging others, right? He's training up others and speaking into their church. And in one of the letters that he writes to the church, listen to what he says in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 4, just after, Paul has just encouraged the Christians in Colossians, right? On how they're to live as new believers in Christ. And he tells them in Colossians chapter 4, he said, you need to pray. You need to be devoted to prayer and to give thanks. And then as he's writing to them, he asks them to pray for him. And this is what he says. He said, while you're praying, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. While he's in custody, Paul says, while you're praying, would you pray for me and pray for those that are helping me, that we will tell others about the gospel of Jesus and that we'd do it clearly. In other words, Paul is saying, pray that God will still use me. Who does he want to tell about Jesus? Anyone can, right? He's going to tell the guards about Jesus. He's probably telling prisoners about Jesus. He's going to tell the visitors about Jesus here in just a little bit. And if we look down a little bit more in verse 5 of Colossians 4, Paul tells them, Christians, you need to make the most of every opportunity you have. Make the most of your time. Make the most of every opportunity. He's saying this, Christians, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, make the most of it for Christ. So here's the first takeaway for us as a church and as Christians. We're to make the most of every opportunity, church. Paul doesn't say, would y'all pray that I could break out of here soon? He doesn't say that, would this court case end soon and I'd be able to get out of here? Would you pray for that? But instead, he asked them, he said, while you're praying, I'm in prison. Would you pray that God would give me an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus? Paul is saying, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, whether I'm free or in prison, I want to make the most of it. Church, that's a great reminder for us. Let's get a little personal here. Sometimes we might not like where we are. Sometimes we might not like the situation we're in. And what does that do? It can lead us to sometimes just kind of sit idle and wait it out. God, when you change things, I'll get to work. But Paul says, don't wait. Don't wait. Make the most of every opportunity. Paul understands that God is with him and that God is at work no matter the situation, no matter the location. Here's the personal part. Maybe you're in a season of life where you aren't living where you'd like to be living. Or you don't have the job or the position you'd like to have. Maybe you're in a season where you have young babies or toddlers or maybe those teenagers, right? Maybe you're an empty nester or a new student. Maybe you're retired or you're just starting to work. No matter where God has us, where he has us working, living, playing, or serving, no matter the season in life you're in, pray and ask God, God, would you help me make the most of it for your glory? We can pray things like this. God, this is where you have me. How would you have me serve you here? How would you have me glorify you during this time? Who would you have me tell others about you right where I'm here? Paul's in prison and he's praying, God, help me make the most of my time. God, how would you use me in this season? Who would you have me encourage? Who would you have me serve or help or pray for?
Paul is showing us that we can make the most of every opportunity because we live for Christ. It's for His glory. It's for His mission. If we believe that God is truly with us and that He's at work and He's in control, we can understand that He's going to use every situation we're in. As a person, I'm guessing that probably Paul would rather be free. But he doesn't pray for his freedom here. He says, God, I'm here. Use me. Here's the great thing. Because God allowed Paul to use him to make the most of every opportunity, soldiers are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prisoners are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guards are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Visitors are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a teenager, if you're a student, if you're an employee, maybe you're an employer, maybe you're retired, a stay-at-home mom, married or single, make the most of this time for Jesus. Don't sit and wait for things to change. God has you where He has you on purpose for a purpose. He is with you where you are. He is at work. And so ask God, how can I make the most of this time for Your glory? Takeaway number one. Great reminder. Then for our second takeaway, we're going to dive into verse 17. So Paul's been in this house. He's been under house arrest for 3 days, and he invites a certain group of leaders to his home, to this prison, home prison right here, and he invites Jewish leaders who are in Rome to come over. Verse 17, it says, after 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. So Paul is trying to connect with and build a relationship with these Jewish leaders here. But when he dives right in, he's probably assuming they've heard rumors about him. Right? Because remember, Paul was chased down by Jewish people. He was falsely accused by Jewish people of things he didn't do, right? And those angry Jews followed him everywhere he went. And so Paul is saying, y'all have probably heard some untrue things about me. And I want you to know, I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing against you or our people as Jews. Verse 18, Paul continues, and when they examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death. Here's another reminder. The Jews wanted to see me die. The Jews wanted me dead, but there was no evidence that I had done anything wrong. He continues, but when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar. He's not getting a fair trial. He's got to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you fellow Jews and Jewish leaders, and to speak with you. For I am wearing this chain. Listen, he says, I'm wearing this chain. I'm in prison for the sake of the hope of Israel. They said to him, we have neither received. So they're responding. He's telling them, y'all probably heard, right, that I've done bad things. And they're saying, we've never received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here or reported or spoken anything bad about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are concerning this sect. The sect is the people that are following Jesus. It is known to us that is spoken against everywhere. So Paul invites these Jewish leaders into his home, and while he's wanting to connect with them and build a relationship with them, Paul is always on mission for Jesus, making the most of every opportunity. And so don't miss what he says in verse 20. He said, for this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and speak with you. Why? For I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. Paul begins to share his story, church. He begins to share things that have happened to him in his life, and he tells them about what he's been doing and why he's been doing it and why he was arrested. He says in verse 20 that I'm wearing these chains, I'm in prison for the sake of the hope of Israel. Who or what is the hope of Israel? It's the same thing, that's the same one that's the hope for us, church. Paul knows it's Jesus. It's not a military leader. It's not a political leader. It's not another religious leader. The hope that is for Israel and for all the world is the promised Savior, Jesus Christ, church. He's the hope. The one who was born of a virgin. The one who lived a perfect life, died on the cross for you and me, and rose again on the third day. He's the hope of the world, church. And so while Paul has these Jewish leaders with him, he uses this time to tell them, y'all, I'm in chains because I want people to know the hope that they can have in Jesus. On Wednesday morning,
Before I started working on my sermon, I was reading some news and reading about some things that were going on in people's lives. And man, it just hit me. It was heavy stuff. Man, many of these people were hurting. You ever read a story in the news and you're just like, oh, Lord, help me with them, right? I mean, they're hurting and they're lost or they're broken and they feel like they have no hope. You could tell by these stories that these people were looking for hope and they were looking really in all the wrong places. Church, if you're saved, if Jesus has saved you and forgave you, you have the answer. We have the answer for brokenness in this world, church. We have the hope these people are looking for. It's not us. It's not a politician. It's not a new book. It's not a new self-help program. It's Jesus Christ, church. We were once without hope until someone told us about the Jesus who rescued us and about the life and eternity he has for us. We have hope because this world is not the end, and when we leave this world, we're going to be with him. And so while Paul is connecting and building a relationship with these leaders, he's pointing them to Jesus. And in verse 22, it says they want to hear more. They want to hear more about the hope, but they also want to hear more about the group of people who follow Jesus. They tell Paul, hey, Paul, lots of people are talking ill of people who follow this Jesus, but we want to hear it from you. Tell us what's going on. Verse 23, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying. So he's teaching them in great detail and he's proclaiming. What is he testifying? About the kingdom of God. Now, take a step back. A few chapters back, the Lord appears next to Paul. He's encouraging him. He said, you testified about me here. You're going to testify about me in Rome. What's he doing? You're going to proclaim about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them. Paul is trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. So Luke tells us that Paul is not only using his personal story and his personal experience, but that Paul is pointing them and he's teaching them and he's showing them about the kingdom of God. He's persuading them about King Jesus. And he says that he's using both the law of Moses and from the prophets. He's using scripture. He's showing them from the first five books of the Bible. He's showing them from the words of their own prophets about the kingdom of God and King Jesus. Right? These people, these Jewish people believed in the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They believed in what the prophets had said about the coming Messiah. He's saying Moses, Isaiah, Malachi, and many other prophets that you read about. Those that you trust, here's what they say. Paul says, they were telling us that a Savior's coming. And guess what? He came. It's Jesus. The one God promised us would come, the one that Moses and the prophets of God, they all say he's coming, and it's Jesus. And that's our second takeaway, church. As Christ followers, as a church family, first, make the most of every opportunity. But the second one is Jesus has called all of us to use our story and use scripture to point people to King Jesus. He's pointing them to the kingdom of God and to Jesus. He uses his own story and his own experience, but he also uses scripture to persuade them to follow Jesus. Church, it's not that we have to tell people about Jesus. We get to tell them. We get to tell people how we were sinners. And when we deserved nothing, Jesus came and gave everything for us. And he changed us. He saved us. He gives us an eternity in heaven. We get to use our story, but we also get to open the Bible, church. We get to open up the Bible, the Word of God, and show them the good news of Jesus from the Word of God. Show them in the Bible of God's love for them and how he came for them and died for them and rose again. We get to open the Bible, church, and show them of the hope and eternal life that's only found in Jesus. Before we go on, I don't want to miss how Paul does this. He shares Jesus with them and the life God has for them, but it says that he does it from morning until evening. Here's what that means. It takes time. Too often Christians tell someone about Jesus and they share their faith with him and get frustrated because the person doesn't respond right away. Well, Paul was patient and consistent. I remember sharing the gospel with a friend of mine from high school, and it was a pretty good friend. And it wasn't until five or so years later after graduation that they trusted in Jesus. The point is, don't give up. Don't grow weary. You got a loved one in your family that needs to know Jesus? Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Keep at it. Keep building real relationships with people in your life. Get to know people. Do life with them. But pray, God, would you open the door for me to share the best news ever with them. Church, here's the thing. We don't have a hard time telling them about our favorite sports team. We don't have a hard time telling them about our favorite barbecue. Kansas City, by the way. Kansas City barbecue. Right? We don't have a hard time telling them about our workout programs, our weight loss, or are you with me, church, like our video games or whatever. Ask God, would you open a door for me to share the greatest news ever? Be patient. Keep praying for them. I'm telling you, there are people in this room that someone prayed for them and shared the gospel with them for years before they gave their life to Jesus. Keep praying. Keep trusting that God's using you. For our third takeaway, look at what Paul says in verse 23. Paul's intentional. He loved these people. He wanted them to be in heaven with him. He wanted people to be forgiven and to know Jesus. And it says that his aim was to persuade them to follow Jesus. He wanted to show them that Jesus was the real deal. And so he shows them from his own personal story, but he opens up the Word of God and says, the one that's been promised that's going to come, it's Jesus. And he's been here. He died and rose again, right? He's the real deal. Verse 24 says, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. Church, this reminds us, our responsibility is to love people enough to invite them to follow Jesus. But we don't save people. Jesus does that. Amen, church? And so their response is between them and Jesus. Our job is to be faithful and tell them and invite them. So third takeaway is this. Lovingly call people to believe in and follow Jesus. Paul knew that Jesus came for all sinners. Right? Paul knew, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Paul knew that Jesus came to save sinners. He came for all because Jesus loves all people. Here's a reality for us to remember. There's not a person that you've ever seen in your life that Jesus does not love. The person on the other side of the political aisle, the person that's driving like, you know, in front of you, right? The person that takes the groceries that you want. Are you with me, church? Like, there are people that frustrate us, but Jesus loves every single one of them. Jesus loves you. Come on, church. And so because he loves the people that Jesus loves, he says, not only am I going to tell you about Jesus, but I want you to come and follow him with me, invites them to follow Jesus. Paul is calling them to believe in and follow Jesus. He's calling people to turn from sin and turn from what they're doing in life and turn to Jesus. He's inviting them to know Jesus personally. He says, hey, I need you to experience the love that I felt. We saw in verse 24, it says that there were some who would not believe. But it says that many others believed and responded and followed Jesus. They were saved that day, right in the living room of a prisoner. I'm going to be honest with you, church. If you truly love people, it's hard when you share the best news ever with them and they reject it. It's hard. But we keep at it. If you're here today and someone's been sharing Jesus with you, I'm going to tell them to keep going. Amen, church? Because your eternity matters. When you leave this world, we want you to be in heaven with us. Paul says here that others, right, that some would not believe. And that reminds me of the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. The rich young ruler, he's got power and position, he's got money, and he comes to Jesus, and just give you the Jeff version real quick, he says, Jesus, I'm a good person, I keep the commandments, I'm doing the right thing. Unfortunately, that's the false religion that a lot of us people in our world believe. It's just like, hey, I can be good enough to earn God. I can do these things to get me to heaven. I say this a lot, and I'm going to keep saying it. There's no scale when you get to heaven. There's no scale that said, okay, good, my good outweighed my bad. I'm going to get in. The only way in is through Jesus, church. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so this person comes, said, I'm a good person. I keep the commandments. I'm doing the right thing. But when Jesus says, hey, listen, I need you to sell all you have, and he had a lot, I need you to give it to the poor, follow me. This rich young ruler put his head down and walked away. He would not believe in Jesus. He would not follow Jesus. Why? Because his worldly possessions were his king. Things of this world sat on the throne of his heart, and only Jesus belongs there. On the throne of our hearts, we like to sit there. We like to put something else on there that we're pursuing. Jesus says, that's where I belong. No one else saved, no one else died for you. No one else came for you. No one else rose again for you. Jesus belongs there. And here Paul makes the most of his situation. He points them to Jesus. He invites them to follow Jesus. And Jesus calls you and I to do the same, by the way. And people get saved here, but others reject. Here's what verse 25 says. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. So he shares the gospel. He said, here's what God's done in my life. Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. Right? Some people get saved, some rejected. And then Paul gives them one parting word. He said this. He said, the Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah, the prophet to your fathers. He's saying this because these people trusted in what Isaiah had said. Saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. But then he goes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return, and I would heal them. Paul's not being harsh to them, to those that are rejecting Jesus and walking away, but what he's speaking truth into their life, church. These are Jewish leaders. These are Jewish leaders who say, man, I believe what Isaiah says to be true. These are people who know the Old Testament. They say they believe it to be true. They believe that a promised one is coming, that's coming to save them. But Paul shows them, he opens up his life, he opens up the Bible, and he shows them clearly from the Old Testament, Jesus is the one. You missed it. He's the promised one. Believe in him. But they chose not to believe. And so he quotes what Isaiah said, many will hear and still reject. Church, Paul was talking to the Jews here, but we need to understand, this is not just to the Jews. Many people today, maybe you're in here today and you've heard the gospel, but you still reject. You turn away. You're holding on to the things of this world instead of trusting in the one who holds that world in his hands. You trust in the things of this world instead of trusting in the one who came to save and love you. Who's the king of your heart? Are you rejecting because you just want to hang on to those things? My question is, how's that working out for you? It didn't work out well for me. Jesus is the only one that can heal. Jesus speaks of this during his earthly ministry. I'm not going to quote all that, but Jesus says in his ministry, he says, some will hear the gospel and reject it. Some will appear to receive it, but their own selfish desires choke the life out of it. And Jesus says that others, that truly others will receive the gospel and are given life. But bro, here's what Paul is saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. Here's what the Bible is saying. When you hear the gospel of Jesus, don't miss this, church. When you hear the gospel of Jesus, you must respond. You must. You must do something with it. So my question to you is, how have you responded? We're all sinners. We're all separated from God because of our sin. That was not his intention. Sin separated us from God. And hear and believe in Jesus because he loves you and he died for you and he rose again for you, right? So that he could save and heal you, church. Church, Jesus heals. He restores. You and I can't bring that kind of healing. Hear me, church. Narcotics will not heal you. Drugs will not heal you. Alcohol will not heal you. Sex will not bring healing. Money will not bring healing. A job or promotion will not bring healing. But Jesus will, church. He will. And you and I, we get to tell others about it. If you're here today and you need to hear that, know it. None of the things in this world can heal you. Only he can. Come on, church. I get a little southern every now and then. Amen? I'm from Missouri, but we pretend. Man. How great is that? We get to tell people about the one that died for us and rose again so that they can spend eternity with Jesus. Come on, man. If you're listening and you have not yet turned to Jesus, you can experience this forever forgiveness and healing that only Jesus brings. That's what Acts is all about, church. It's not by being good or religious, but it's by placing your life and your faith and your trust in the one true King, and it's Jesus. Who has a hold of your heart? If it's not Jesus, you're missing it. Church, if you're saved today, people need to hear from you about Jesus. How he rescued you, how he saved you, how he changed you, how he healed you. I love seeing people in our church and other places that just worship Jesus. I love when I know their stories about how Jesus met them and called their name and healed them and saved them and forgave them and changed their life. When we pause and remember just how incredible Jesus is, it should change the way you worship him. It should change the way you live for Jesus. It should change the way you wake up and go to bed in the morning. It should change how you are as a husband and as a father and as a mother and a wife. It should change how you are as a child, as an employee and as an employer. It should change us, church. That ain't even in my notes. That's just free stuff, church. Come on. Right? Jesus heals addiction and brokenness. He forgives sinners. He saves the lost. This is who we serve. This is who we love. This is who we live for. So make the most of every opportunity and point others to King Jesus. By the way, if you're here today, maybe you need to make the most of the opportunity and say yes, Jesus. Yes to Jesus. Second takeaway, or excuse me, we're further than that. For the next two takeaways, we're going to look at the remaining verses. Verse 28. This is good stuff. Amen, church? Amen, Pastor Jeff. Good stuff, man. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God, which has been sent to the Gentiles, they will also listen. When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him. What's he doing? Preaching kingdom God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness and unhindered. Takeaway number 4. Church, let's ask God to give you spirit-empowered boldness and confidence in the gospel. We see that Paul fully believes he has confidence in the word of God and the gospel of Jesus. He knows it's true. He's experienced it. He's experienced the transforming power. And Paul proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness. The word openness is a Greek word for being unreserved and bold. Some of you all need to take those chains off a little bit, right? Be unreserved and bold, meaning this, while in prison, Paul is boldly sharing Jesus. He's living out Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The very beginning of Acts connects with the very end of Acts. Jesus says this to all of us, if you're saved. He says, but you, Christ follower, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit is the one who will empower you to live this out. And so, church, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as we live faithfully for Jesus, as we point others to Jesus, let's remember that we are fully dependent on God to be at work in and through us. We cannot do what God has called us to do on our own. And I'm a living testimony of that. I have tried, church. You can't do it on your own. You need brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to do it together, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it in and through us. And so we pray, God, Holy Spirit, would you give me the boldness and the confidence to live for you? Church, we cannot live for Christ apart from him. By the way, I'm super excited. Next week, we're going to talk really good about what it means to pray and to be with God. Don't miss it. But apart from him, we cannot live for Christ. We cannot be the church Jesus calls us to be in our own power. So we pray, God, please don't stop. Please do things in and through us that only you can do. God, we are weak and unable on our own. But God, you can give us the power, the boldness, the confidence to be faithful, to live with you and for you and to point others to you. When we think about Paul, remember from the moment Jesus called Paul's name and saved him until now, it says in verse 30 that Paul was here in prison for 2 more years and he remained faithful. From the time Jesus saved him until the end of his life, Paul lived completely for King Jesus. Our last takeaway is this. If you're a Christian, you're a part of Authentic Life Church, our aim is to live completely for King Jesus until we see him face to face. In Acts, we have seen so many people surrender and give their life for Jesus. We see Peter and Paul and others giving all they had for Jesus. We see so many local churches in Acts that start and grow, and they're surrendering and they're giving all they had for King Jesus. And remember, while Paul it was in Rome, he wrote Philippians. Listen to what he says in Philippians. He writes this from prison. He says this, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul didn't know in that moment if he would live or die. He didn't know if he was going to make it out or not, but he's saying there is no greater gain or reward than for me to be with Jesus, church. He's saying, I can't wait that for me to be with Jesus is everything. But while I'm still here, to live is Christ, meaning this, my life is his. My finances are his. My time is his. My relationships is his. My resources are his. My home is his. My wife, you with me, church? Like everything we have is his. It's for him. I live my life for him and point others to him. Let's live completely for Jesus until we get to see him face to face. That's our aim and desire, to live completely for Christ until we're with him. And here's why, church. Because there's no one that has ever existed as worthy except him. Come on. Live completely for him because he is worthy. Church, he gave everything for you when we deserved nothing. While we were still sinning against him, Christ, he gave everything.
from what we can put together from Acts and from other letters that Paul wrote and from really historical documents, it seems that Paul was eventually released from this prison in Rome somewhere around AD 63 or 63. But when Paul left prison, his ministry didn't end. Sometimes we get to a point in our life where we're like, hey, I've been serving, you know, this for a long time. It's time for somebody else to do it. It doesn't matter if we're 6 or 106. We don't stop living for Jesus, church. He continued to live for Christ, encourage others, and point people to Jesus. But later, Paul would be arrested again for telling people about Jesus. And he wouldn't make it out this time. And we see Paul write what's believed is his last letter in 2 Timothy. He writes this to a friend. He writes this to a young man that he poured into. He writes this to a ministry partner. He says this in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Acts 28 is not the end, it's just the beginning. Paul kept going until the Lord called him home. Acts is just the beginning, and now we get to be used by God to continue to live for Christ, to encourage one another, and to point others to Christ until we're with him. There's an old song that says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. He says, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. As Christ followers and as a church, let's live completely for Jesus until we're with him. Let's pray.